You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
I tore myself away from Germany versus Japan in the World Cup in Qatar in order to speak to Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investment. And, of course, it's Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne, I know you'd be I know you're doing a fine job there by also. You're probably watching it in the background, but...
No,
I know you're not.
Footy's not my big thing.
No, it's not. Well, no sport is. It's cars and markets and food, which we'll talk about later.
And rugby. I follow rugby.
The only reason you like rugby is because you're forced to do so by your partner, the world's greatest rugby fan.
By the world's biggest rugby fan, yes. Quite right, but we have a lot of fun together watching rugby.
I'm sure
the
you
dog
do.
Doesn't like it. The dog doesn't like it.
Okay.
It's not used to these sudden exclamations and shouts and laughter and screams and shouting at the ref, but the dog doesn't like it.
Okay.
So the dog normally goes to a quiet spot when there's rugby on.
Good for him. I applaud him. And he eats broccoli as well, which is fantastic.
He eats broccoli. He loves
broccoli. I love your dog. Anyway,
he's a sweet boy.
We're already getting off subject here.
Off markets, yeah.
Yeah, let's have a look here. And Grindrod Shipping came out with an announcement this morning. And the share price promptly fell. I mean, it's down around about 23% as we pre-record this podcast. What do you know about Grindrod Shipping and this voluntary cash offer? What's going on there?
Well, look, to be honest, I'm not 100% up to date. I haven't read today's announcement. I did look at all the news, but I somehow missed this one. They are selling out the whole of Grindrod Shipping, and yeah, I must admit, I actually don't know what went wrong there today.
Well, it's obviously the fact that the thing is not as high as the prevailing share price, so they whacked it down. I mean, I haven't read it either, but I saw it, and then I saw it again, and it doesn't say it's been cancelled. At first I thought that the cash offer had been withdrawn by this company called Falkirk, which is a subsidiary of a shareholder of Grindrod Shipping. And it just doesn't make sense. And I was hoping you'd be able to enlighten me. But let's pass on that one.
Unfortunately, I'll have to investigate that one. I don't know enough about it.
Naspers and Prosus came out. They came out rather early. They normally come out once Hong Kong is closed, about 11 o'clock South African time. But today it came out early. What did you make of those numbers?
Well, look, they came out yesterday, but at 5:15 or something, if I'm not mistaken.
Sorry, this morning it's...
I might be wrong, but it doesn't matter. They did give us a trading update a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And warned us about the earnings decline. But when you look at the share price, you realize the market was anticipating this. I mean, everyone knows what happened to Tencent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say the e-commerce side is down and all of this, but... Naspers and Prosus both boil down to, is their massive and continuing investment into food delivery going to work, yes or no?
Mm.
I think it's going to work, but there's a great deal of uncertainty around that. There really is. Because they're pushing a lot of money into it, and I'm very happy they could back out of two deals. I mean, they backed out of, was it Just Eat?
Just
some
eat.
Other guy,
yes,
you know, won that competition, and I bet they were severely regretting it because they bought that right at the top. And then there was also a couple of months ago some other deal that didn't work out or the conditions precedent weren't met or something like that. But today they announced they're putting another just over $1 billion in buying out the minorities in another company. So as I said, I think it's going to work, but that's the big question in process and Naspers. But just come back to the earnings. I mean, I know they use normalized earnings, and I know they give this concept of core earnings and all of that. But when you look at the headline earnings, where there are many, I suppose you can call them regulations as to how you report headline earnings, I mean, it either halved or it disappeared.
Why? Because of Tencent?
Because the e-commerce slowed down and Tencent and all of these things, continued investments into other businesses, a shortfall in the income from associates. I mean, this is still, at the end of the day, a tech company, investing into new business fields that as yet haven't proven themselves per se. And when you think of when you think of what the share prices have done, market wasn't really surprised by these numbers.
Talking about the food delivery service, which can be expanded into other delivery services, it starts as food and then it goes off and does something else.
Correct.
Like a company will say, this is our core product. Wait a second, we can bolt things onto this. And because of what
That's
we're doing in this particular
idea.
Food. Yeah. But is it a multi-billion dollar investment? Is it worthy of that type of money, the type of money that Nespresso Process has put into it? Because it seems to me
time will tell.
There's not a lot of barriers to entry to this. I mean, I once said to my daughter, set yourself up with a few bikes and a few friends and just focus on the area in which you live in Parkhurst in Johannesburg and go to a few restaurants and do it like that. Immediately they're a food delivery business. I mean, it never happened, of course, but you get my point. It's not as if it's an ASML or something like that where you have to invest in capital and intellectual capital and all that sort of thing.
There's very little startup costs and there's very few barriers to entry.
Exactly.
But there's still one big issue.
What's that?
You've got to get volume to make money.
Yeah.
You have got to get serious volume because if a person's buying, let's say we at home, once a week we normally get takeaways, and you're buying, let's say, 120 rand per dish each of us. Okay, so it's 240 rand. You're not paying anything more than 40 rand to have that delivered. You're not paying 100 rand to have that delivered. You're just not.
No.
So you have got to get volume to make money. And as you correctly said, I think the big reason why the Nespresso and Process are going into this food delivery is it only works on 6 till 8 at night time and maybe a bit at lunchtime. The rest of the day, the whole system sits idle. So if you could use that to deliver other stuff during the idle hours, the infrastructure's there, the system's there, the technology's there, the drivers are there, the cars and the motorbikes are there. They're just idle. So if you can consolidate that market and then start delivering in the down hours, you know, I mean, that profit falls straight to the bottom line, but it's still got to be proven. I mean, you're taking on big distribution chains already that are well established, that do those deliveries during the, let's call it, working hours.
Yes.
So there's big competition here. I mean, I order for my motor cars. I order a lot of stuff from overseas.
Yeah.
And there's some firmly entrenched, seriously large players in that market.
I don't know what people get delivered. I mean, I get food delivered because I'm lazy or because the weather's awful, which it is at the moment. So I phone them up and they deliver me something. And I think something that I ordered today was €35. And there was a €3.89 surcharge on that.
How can you make money on €3.89?
Well, exactly, and some of that goes to the delivery chat.
Checkers.
Hmm.
Yeah, Checkers is working extremely well because they've got volume, but they charge you 35 Rand delivery charge, and they get it to you in under 60 minutes. I mean, literally, I mean, other than ordering Checkers at home at my garage, literally, if we use the last milk at tea time, I can order more milk and any stuff I need, and it's there before the lunchtime cup of coffee. That's how efficient it is. Previously, I would have to either walk across the road to the garage,
heaven forbid,
and buy some milk that was probably already past its expiry date, or get in my car and go to the supermarket. Whereas now I can just go on the app. I can push my orders, repeat order, blah blah blah. It's done in 20 seconds, and within an hour, there's a little scooter at the gate there.
It just seems very, very fine margins to me, Wayne.
Yeah.
And what do people order during the day? I mean, you order long-term, you order motor spares for your motor cars. But during the day, most people say, goodness me, I've ran out of milk or something. In the Netherlands, you have to get about anything between 30 and 50 euros order together in order for you to get free delivery, so-called free delivery. There's nothing free.
Yeah.
But during the day, what do you do? You're not going to, the Uber Eats or whatever Nespresso or Process company in South Africa says,
there's
okay.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean,
it's already done.
That's what I'm saying, is that there's huge, huge competition in this market.
Yeah.
But if you take retail sales, depending on what country you're in, you know, anywhere between 15 and 30% of all sales is done online now with delivery. And that's not going down. I don't think it's going to take over. You know, I think people still fundamentally like shopping, even though I don't. But it's only going to go up for the next while. So that's the market they want to tap into in there. But you know, the problem is the race to the bottom, because all you can compete on essentially is price. You know, that's it. You've got to be cheaper. That's why people might use you. But I mean, it's phenomenal. You know, I used to spend at least a day a week riding around the greater Gauteng area, dropping off pieces and picking up pieces for motor cars.
Yeah.
Now I just send Uber Collect.
Oh,
it's cheaper.
Oh, really?
Okay. It doesn't take any of my time, and I send Uber Collect, and they go and pick it up, and they come and drop it off, and it's so convenient. I don't get in my car and drive around the place anymore.
Well, especially with the traffic and load shedding. You say it's cheaper, which means, again, it comes back to my margin issue. How are they making money
where's the
out
margin?
Of this?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I can get stuff delivered to Kaya Sands, which is in Randburg, from all the way from a place near the airport for 80 Rand. I mean, forget my time. It would cost me more than 80 Rand's petrol to get there and back.
Yeah, and also you get frustrated because there's an accident or it's a rush hour or something.
Or the load shedding and all this sort of stuff.
All that rubbish. Okay.
Because now you're living in the Nederland there.
I am.
You don't understand this load shedding. I mean, you want to throw a party when you wake up in the morning and you got electricity. You literally want to throw a party.
Wayne, I left South Africa 6 years ago, and load shedding was a part of my life, so I do understand it. As I've said before, if I wanted to watch a football match,
it's severe now.
Yeah, just think of your partner. Imagine if she's looking forward to the Springboks against England, and suddenly, your part of the world...
I've sorted that out.
Yes, I'm sure you have.
I've sorted that out.
The point is, I would have to drive to another area that wasn't subject to load shedding at the time. It's an inconvenience, first of all, and that's a frivolous example, but as we said before, the poor small business owner and the bigger business owner that's had to install generators and that sort of thing, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, but look, I read a very interesting article today. You know, justifiably so, the current Eskom management say it's the years and years and years of neglect, and I get that. But I read an article that gave the latest 20 problems at Eskom as to why we're in these heavy, continuous stages of load shedding. And all of these things happened since the new management took over at Eskom. You know, that one chap moving the valve the wrong way or the conveyor breaking down. But, you know, it's actually quite a shocker that one person can turn a valve the wrong way and contaminate the water that shouldn't be contaminated. And we go into stage 4 load shedding. One person or one conveyor belt catches fire or one explosion somewhere. You know, it just shows you how precarious the situation is.
Yes.
And now, of course, I think they're playing politics by saying, hey, we've used our budget for diesel, so we're not buying anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens, you've got to get diesel. So I actually think they're playing politics now, because you just got to get diesel, because diesel, you know, takes you down 2 levels of load shedding if you've got your open cycle generators working.
All right. So what's the verdict then? Naspers process. It's going to work, you said. It's going to work. But how well will it work? You think it's cheap?
You're only 5 years, Tom.
Really?
I think they're both cheap, yeah.
Are you buying?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Okay, Telkom, they came out with their results, and also the chairman resigned and non-executive director. What's his name? Selo Moloko, I think it is.
Selo is such a good chap. I mean... Yeah, that's a great loss to Telkom, to be honest.
Was he pushed or did he jump?
Man. I don't know. But he's a highly, highly competent man. But just to come back to Telkom, it's the same as Cell C. These smaller players just cannot compete. They cannot compete. The capex involved is just way beyond their means. And if you haven't got the capex, it means you've got to share networks with one of the other 2 big players. And the moment you share network, you make no margin. You just don't make a margin. So I was very disappointed that the deal with Telkom fell through, because I think that's the only real answer for Telkom. You know, they spoke in their results of, you know, returning capital to shareholders is their number one priority, but they're on a dividend suspension policy. And I can't see that changing because they just chew cash trying to stay competitive and invest in capex. Look, part of their businesses are doing okay. But, I mean, even in these results, they had no real subscriber growth in the cell phone side, eh?
No, nothing.
You know, you just cannot compete. You actually, as far as Telkom and Cell C is concerned, especially Cell C, you're actually throwing good money after bad money.
Hmm.
Because this is so capital intensive, you have to be the big gorilla in the room. You can't be a small person and try and compete in this market. It is just impossible because, once again, it's a race to the bottom.
And also, Wayne, it's the fact that private companies, I mean, like MTN and Telkom, MTN is a private company. Okay, it's got a few encumbrances, occasionally admin and bureaucracy and things like that. But it is essentially a private global company that has innovation. It's got the money to innovate. And the reason it's buying Telkom or wanted to buy Telkom was because of the infrastructure. And it could expand its own network through that. Yeah. Telkom can't survive alone because it's a dinosaur, essentially.
No, to a certain extent, although the fixed line part of the business is so small nowadays, essentially they can't compete. They've got 10% of the market, but unfortunately, of that 10%, they only carry 2 or 3% of that on their own network. The other 7%, they've got to share the revenue with either MTN or Vodacom, depending on which partner they're with at any particular stage, and your margin just disappears. So it's actually a flawed business model. You cannot compete, man. The capital, the capex is just too massive to expand your own network.
And the government can't support
money,
it.
You make money, make no mistake, you make money if people use your own network. Because once you spend the capital expenditure, you know, your running costs are fairly low. But then just to exacerbate the situation, hey, we're going to 5G soon. Eh? Now, I don't know the difference between 3G and 5G.
Not
but all I know is, and LTE and all of these other ADSL, I've got no clue what they all mean. But what I do know is that the capex for 5G is way more than the capex has ever been before for 3G or 4G, because you literally got to have more towers to give the necessary coverage, quality, speed of transmission, all of these things. So, you know, and only the big guys can actually afford this. And of course, justifiably so, even though Telkom, even though all the players might disagree, I think justifiably so, the government wants to get the cost of data down because that's for the benefit of everyone.
Okay.
So you're even regulated in that respect.
Yeah, okay. Telkom, I've been dubious of it for a while. It was at one stage below 20 rand a share. It was at one stage quite recently above 50 rand a share. I still think it's going to go back somewhere between 20 and 25, something like
Unless a deal comes, because they have got assets, eh? There are assets there.
Yeah.
But even if Rain makes a deal, I mean, Rain's got some big buyers, big people behind him with lots of cash, but not the cash to compete to roll out your own network. Eh?
Not multi-billions, in other words.
No, hundreds of billions.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, Wayne, let's move on to one other thing before we get on to the important matter of our daily bread, food, in other words. I thought of thee the other day, and I thought about you again this afternoon, and that was because of your prediction, your outlandish prediction earlier on this year to say that, you know, when inflation was rising from 8 to 9 to 10% in various different countries, you said, no, it's going to be down, it's going to collapse next year. And you said the oil price can't do this and it can't do that. In order for this level of inflation to be maintained, oil has to do this. And I thought the other day when the oil price fell 5%, I thought Wayne McCurry.
Yeah.
And today I'm thinking Wayne McCurry again. Brent crude oil, $85.23, down 3.5%.
Yeah.
West Texas crude, $77.78, down nearly 4%. And this is now a full-blown bear market. This is a full-blown bear market.
Going to the 70s or the 60s.
60s, yeah.
You'll be heading for a global slowdown. Nothing sorts out high prices like a global slowdown stroke recession, eh?
Yeah.
Nothing sorts it out as quickly. And wage inflation.
Yes.
But that's one of the reasons why I'm optimistic in the medium term, because interest rates are going to fall rapidly the end of next year, beginning of 2024 as well, on the back of the rapid fall in inflation.
Well, all I can say is that you're quite right, and the energy complex, apart from natural gas, which today is up just over 10%, the energy complex
but that's a different
is in a
story,
full-blown bear market. From 100 and,
correct, yes.
It peaked at 139 on one brief tick in one morning in the Far East, but it messed around between 120 and 125 for ages. It's now 85. It's 35% weaker.
It's going into the 70s. It's going to be 50% weaker, not too soon.
Exactly. Okay, tell me about food, Wayne. Now, tell you mine, because you've got lots of things that you're excited about telling me. I can feel you drooling at the moment. I've cancelled my Christmas turkey from Poland. I don't want a Polish turkey. There's nothing against Polish turkeys, but it's going to have to be refrigerated and come on a truck, and my carbon footprint will go through the roof. And so what I'm doing is I'm driving to Rotterdam to my favourite Indian restaurant, because there's not one in Middelburg, which is my current place of residence. I am going to drive on the 23rd to get a big bag of good curry takeaways, because they keep and you can heat them up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That is going to be my Christmas dinner. I'm going to, because, you know, the curry is the national dish of Britain, which is the place where I was born.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have, in celebration of the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have curry.
Yeah, curry.
Yeah, very good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Good. Thank you very much.
My one food story, which I've just literally finished within the last 2 hours or so, is I went to a restaurant in Pretoria at the Pretoria Country Club called Blue Saffron.
Look at you.
Now, it has been there forever. And a few things about Blue Saffron. I don't know who's in charge of their music, but it was music from my youth. I mean, I haven't heard such concentrated Phil Collins for 20 years. So I don't know who their music person is there, but they should maybe just possibly think about upgrading the music. You know, Phil Collins was maybe 30 years ago. But besides
and that, the rest,
they had one of my favorite dishes of all time there. They had creamy biltong and mushroom soup. Now, if no one's had that before, especially at Blue Saffron, I thoroughly recommend they go there. It is too delicious. Forward.
How often do you get a medical checkup, Wayne? How often do you get a medical checkup?
I go often.
And?
I actually go often. I am in prime health here. I've got no. I'm lucky it's all genes, because it ain't lifestyle.
But no, I've not with no creamy mushroom and biltong soup.
And nickies. I've got. I'm extremely lucky. As I said, it's all genetics.
Mm.
I am extremely lucky. I have no health concerns at all. Hopefully that continues, but I've got no health concerns. And then I had a fillet steak with creamy Dijon mustard sauce. And it was absolutely too delicious for me.
Okay, so you're one of these sort of invincible people, Wayne. The two dishes you've said.
Yes.
A great big steak. Okay. Now, steak on its own, I think it is a good thing, and it's full of iron and protein and a few other essential things, which is good. But you cover it in that word, cream. Creamy Dijon mustard sauce. That's the first thing.
Dijon mustard sauce.
Whenever you have a vegetable, you say...
No, there were no veggies there.
The only way you'll eat a vegetable is if it's smothered in a cheese sauce or a white sauce.
Correct, yeah. And what's wrong with that?
Well, according to your genes, absolutely nothing. It's delicious
absolutely
and everything.
Absolutely nothing, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, but then you have the biltong and creamy soup.
They bought creamy biltong and mushroom creamy soup with a little bit of, I think it was Parmesan cheese on the top.
Yeah.
Wow. So I had to give up. I mean, I've got to actually work every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
So I was there on a work function, and I had to get up and give a little talk, you know, about things like markets and stuff like
boring.
That. So I spoke for 10 minutes, but there was still... I'd only finished half my soup, and the waiters came in to clear the, because I spoke between starters and main course.
Mm.
They came in to clear the table because everyone had finished their starters.
Yes.
So I had to interrupt my presentation by telling the waitress not to remove my half full bowl of biltong and mushroom soup.
Or to go and heat it up maybe.
And then I carried on. And then I carried on with my presentation after that.
Yeah, you've got to get your priorities right.
The other food story yeah, the other food story, and I must apologize for not taking a photograph and sending it to you as a homage.
Yeah, you did promise me last Wednesday.
Curry buffet at the Oyster Box in Umhlanga last Wednesday. That was delicious.
What did you have?
They had a prawn masala, and they had a chicken korma and a paneer korma out of this world. I mean, it costs a fortune, make no mistake.
Tell me, is it 550, 600 these days?
Yeah, 600, yeah. But at the end of the day, as long as you're not doing it every week, it's worth the money.
And what do you have with it? Do you have, obviously, papadoms, you're munching away there, and naan bread
as
well?
I quite like papadoms. I like the naan bread and the paratha bread. I like the breads. I try papadoms, but if there's a garlic naan or a paratha or some other bread there, I'd rather have that than a papadom.
And you won't have like what's that thing, the paneer, you know, that spinach and
cheese.
Indian cheese.
Oh, no, I don't have the spinach, but I have a lot of paneer, but just a paneer curry, a paneer korma or something like that. I actually love paneer. It's the one time when I'm faced, when I make a decision, I'll often order paneer curry rather than a chicken or a lamb curry. I'd rather have the paneer. It is truly, well, especially this one, it was delicious. Because paneer has a fairly neutral taste to it. So in other words, it's the curry sauce that surrounds it that you actually taste. But the texture is so nice.
It is actually. It doesn't sort of crumble away. It's firm, isn't it?
No, it's very nice.
It's lovely. I've one thing I will say, that you like things creamy, don't you? You like your cream. You like your creamy sauces.
I like cream, but I don't like sloppy foods. Like, I'm not into cottage pie and lamb on the shank, and I don't like sloppy foods. I'm not really into, you know, spaghetti bolognese, and I like something that's either crispy or has got a bit of texture to it. Okay. I'm not a mushy food. Like, I don't like mashed potatoes and stuff like that. I'm not a sloppy, mushy food type of person.
Well, all I can say is, given the last few minutes of chatting to you, Wayne, and given the fact that you go for regular checkups, I'm amazed. You're almost invincible. You're like some kind of superhero that can eat anything. And also,
no.
I'm not being personal here, you smoke as well.
Yes.
And yet your health is perfectly fine. In fact, for a man of your age, you're inappropriately fit.
Yes, but as I said, it's all genetics. It's not a lifestyle thing.
Well, whatever reason it is.
So I was most blessed by my parents in passing on very resilient genes.
Excellent. Well, hopefully your children have been blessed with those genes. You're going to see them over Christmas, and we'll speak before then. But jolly good. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. And that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.